right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
What was I going to say? Yeah, standing on business. It doesn't really have an etymology, but I'm willing to stand on business over that
whole take. Fair enough. Listeners, yeah. If someone can tell me the linguistic roots of standing on business, please at me about it if you have bought a t-shirt. If you have not bought a t-shirt yet, buy one, and then you have permission to add.
Nice opening plug. Nice opening plug.
You have
Top
to earn. Lobster
/ Timeline Earth.
You have to earn the privilege of maybe interacting with us if we feel like responding to you.
That's though I'll true. Say for yeah. me, there's a grandfather clause caveat on that.
Yeah? Is it heavily dependent on how you're feeling?
No, it's literally a grandfather clause. It's based on past interaction.
Based on loyalty, Aaron.
Oh, based on grandfathers?
Are you familiar with the concept?
Vaguely. Throughout the history of this show, I've learned what not to do.
I was watching an interview, Piers Morgan interviewing Werner Herzog. About to like 20 minutes ago, dude. He's such a badass.
Yeah, yeah. He does have a presence about him.
He does. I want to be cultivating my Werner Herzog presence.
Yeah.
You saying you need to up your riz? Is that what the kids say these days?
There you go. There's another one.
I've heard tell.
I need to up my riz. To become more like Werner Herzog. I hope it turns out. I hope he's not like an eyes wide shut got creep. I hope he's just a normal German director.
Normie German, yeah. That's just what they're all like. That's a German normie.
I called you guys here together to throw a thesis at you.
Okay.
My thesis is, it's over. It's been over for a long time. The signs have been there. The cracks have been widening into chasms. We ignored them. Don't think anything is salvageable. We're not going back. We'll never be back. That time is dead and gone. And we haven't been back for a while. What do you think about that?
So are we talking at like a societal level, a podcast level, an individual level?
All
the above.
Your statement's
too general, man. If
no.
I was your thesis
yeah,
advisor,
wrong.
I'd tell you to narrow it down.
I can't narrow it down because every time I narrow it down, it gets even more over.
That sounds like a skill issue then.
Guy looking at his credit line.
I mean, on a personal level, I just did my taxes, so that's over.
Yes, I just did mine too.
Is there
being
so,
a podcast
guys,
it doesn't pay, fellas?
Did I talk about this last week? How I've been paying in every year now, all of a sudden?
How
like
is that
past
even possible?
3 years?
What?
How is it possible that you pay in? How is that
right?
possible?
I don't know. But the end of the story is, this year I finally did not have to pay in. And, to my disappointment, fucking TurboTax ended up charging me more than what my refund was going to be.
Oh, wow. You got to go to H&R Block, dude.
Yeah, H&R Block.
Yeah,
man.
Their nearest office is over 50 miles away.
Dude, you can do it online. I just did mine today online.
See,
I'm a single man.
My block.
With
now,
no dependencies.
Bird, if I may just say, that was already pointed out to me by the last person I bitched about this to. So I'm woke.
It's super good.
I got fucked
good.
This year by my
well,
preparer,
yeah.
not even the government.
Fucking... those people.
You're those salty about guys. It.
You know what the best part is? It's only going to get worse.
Mm. Well, that's your theory.
It
about
is.
About it.
And I would love to hear the support of the thesis. Make your case, Aaron. I'm in
really
an optimist arc.
We're gonna hear Aaron's like Spenglerian, whatever he's about to do.
No, believe it or not, this has nothing to do with the Democrats or the libs. What set me off this week has been the right, as occasionally happens. We're in an era now where the idea of where you land in the pro-life, pro-choice debate depends on pragmatic voting.
Well, can I just say from the outset, of course you're black-pilled that nothing will ever get better if you're associating things getting better with the victory of the right, the most loserist movement in the history of the Western world.
I shouldn't even say the right. I should say nominal Christians who I thought carried more weight than they do. Yeah, maybe I was mistaken in that. I thought the evangelicals were kind of still a force to be reckoned with.
Well, I'm not sure even necessarily that they're not a force to be reckoned with.
I don't think they've ever been a force to be reckoned with. All of the...
I mean, I think...
Well, so
70%
hold on, though. They were the driving force of the right coalition through the end of Reagan, from the end of Reagan through Bush. They were the core of the conservative linchpin, the pivot point.
Yeah, the Jews were the core of that.
And by the transitive property of evangelicals?
To me, the evangelicals are the kind of like...
I thought for sure that the pro-life stance was a non sequitur for any nominee. Or at least...
No.
Not pro-life, but like being in the pro-life direction, like as far as policy inertia, even if it's just... You know, not quite maintaining the status quo, but showing some type of lip service.
So I did want to talk to you about this because I was surprised by the number of people, including by you, and I think I'm missing something. So hopefully you can help me figure it out. But I was surprised by seeing the number of people who I consider to be on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, like right movement guys, just sympathies for the right. How many, I was surprised by the number of them who I felt when I was reading it were not swayed by the pragmatic case.
Because it's a non-starter. Like it's, and to my knowledge, it's always been a non-starter for any GOP nominee hopeful.
I'm surprised by.
Why are you surprised that pragmatism's a non-starter for pro-life voting bloc?
Like just for pro-life, like you could be anything else. Like even, I mean, historically, even
pro-life Democrats could win. But it's not a non-starter that way. It's a, what do you mean by non-starter then?
Like it's a line in the sand that you will drop the, that I always thought you would drop the evangelicals if you crossed.
Because you will. And that's the whole reason there was an uproar about
it. Okay. I don't want to, so my evangelicals aside, or not aside, maybe I'm including some of them in this. You're not an evangelical.
I'm not. I'm one of the 40% or so of male Catholics that, you know, would vote GOP because of pro-life proclivities.
So you will not vote GOP if there's compromise on abortion?
I've been rolling that around in my head. Yeah.
What will you vote?
I guess I would have to leave that the presidential candidate section blank.
I was confused by people in my orbit who seemed to be who are uncompromising on the issue of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And it's not that we're not uncompromising.
But are determined to see a Republican victory.
Yeah, that's the crux.
Well, so let's maybe phrase it this way. The pragmatism, such as it enters the equation for pro-life issue voters, is knowing they must vote Republican because that's the only party with a chance to affect pro-life policy.
Yes.
It is not a matter of pragmatism on their single issue. It's a matter of pragmatism between one's a crapshoot and the other one's a guaranteed no. And so, I think you would find that that replicates in any single issue voting block.
It's just, it's a marked change in tone from the Republican candidate than.
Yes. On that note, Trump, in the way he phrased his statement, did make a huge break from the norms of Republican candidates.
From 2016, 2020. I mean, even before he ran for president, he kind of flipped it in the early 2000s when he started taking a strong pro-life stance and started, you know, expressing support for a national ban. And now it's up to the states. Well, let's break that pragmatism down for a second. What else can we leave up to the states? Immigration? Because I know that immigration is a non-starter for a lot of Republicans as well.
Immigration is more of a non-starter than abortion.
Yes. Yes. But the reason being that it needs to be federal is the same reason why an abortion ban would need to be federal. And that might sound like cope, but I was surprised at the lack of pushback from evangelicals towards, I guess, Trump. But rather than pushing back on Trump, they push back on pro-lifers.
That's crazy to me, and we must be looking at two totally different timelines, and I know we are, because mine was nothing but people going apeshit on him for that announcement.
Yes, that was my timeline as well.
Yeah, my timeline was me going apeshit, and then other people nominally on the
we
right.
We were looking at you, and I was like, I'm surprised. I'm surprised by the, I don't know how to put it. You're going to lose.
Yes.
On the abortion issue.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to lose. Women want it. Women make up a huge percentage of the voting bloc needed to win. You're going to get it.
Terrible.
So, you're going to get it. So it's either you get it, and the Democrats get to do everything they want, or you get it, and the party that has expressed, at least nominally, other similar views to yours gets to enter power.
Yes, but here's the kicker. I think the Democrats are going to win, and we're going to get it. So what is Trump's role knowing that?
Well, if he is the person that everyone wants him to be, his role would be to fight anyways. And that's what everyone always said. Oh, well, he's a fighter. He's fighting for us. Is he still?
Yeah, that's also a marked departure in tone.
How do you think the Democrats are going to get it?
By winning the federal election and enshrining it into law.
Do you think they're going to legitimately win the federal election?
I mean,
they're going to win it. It doesn't have to be legitimate.
Yeah.
It does matter, yeah.
How so?
Well, if they're going to win it anyway, then they're going to win it anyway. But if you're saying that they're going to win it legitimately, or at least it could be, it's legitimate even if they fix it on the side, mm-hmm. The number of states that would have to flip to blue for that would be surprising.
But they don't have to flip to blue for that. Well, I mean, look at, it's another case of Arizona, Wisconsin, 2020, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be a one state election.
Like 276 to 265. That's a map that I saw, or 262, I think. I forget.
I think it's going to be a tight election. Yeah.
Yeah. I assume it'll be a tight election as well.
So
but
they're gonna. But my point is, if the Democrats are gonna fix it and win it, then that's sort of like a. Okay, then we're good. But if you leave the door open for the possibility that the fix is not in, and it is a legitimate election, like what I guess I'd want to know firstly, like where you think that's going to happen. I think what I mean to say is, if we're speaking in terms of the power that women have as a voting bloc, if we have one state that flips. If it's a one-state election, I should say, a very close election,
mm-hmm.
then you need as many women as you can possibly get.
Yeah. I agree.
So, what do you... I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, why would anything be...
Why would Trump not do that?
I mean, there's going to be some logical point when you have to look around and go, okay, this party doesn't represent me anymore. Abortion yes. is the thing?
It is for a decent number of people. There's yeah. a whole swathe of voters that will sit out over that issue.
Yeah, it may not be the thing for a lot of people, but it is for some. And it's also a thing for a lot of people that might put some tension on their historic political loyalty.
And you know what? The other thing is, it's a bad play in general because it's not going to win voters back to you. It's playing yes. catch up against an entrenched position.
He won in 2016 on basically giving lip support to a national ban. That never happened. I don't think anybody in the know really expected that to happen, but he was open to the idea.
But he said the right things to mobilize that portion of the voting bloc,
yes.
which was at the time skeptical on him before he did so.
And 2020, when Roe v. Wade was still in effect, he, as far as I know, it was just a continuation of 2016 as far as his policy towards abortion. And now it seems like a just a backslide. And that's also beside the point. Like we know what we're getting with Trump. It's he's going to say what he needs to get votes. And we've always known that. But what's more surprising and kind of disappointing is the reaction from a lot of his base. That's more what I'm getting at is I don't feel like I have as much affinity with other GOPers or other right wingers after, you know, the eclipse day when he made his comments.
Well, so, okay. I take 100 different timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll set the preliminary for this is. There's a chance Republicans could win. So if you believe that the Democrats are going to steal it, you know, there's you're going to go a different way with this. If you believe the Democrats are legitimately going to win it, you're going to go a different way. But if you believe the Republicans actually have the opportunity to win, take 100 timelines. And in those 100 timelines, how many of those timelines, 4 years of a presidency, how many of those timelines do the Democrats winning track more dubs than when the Republicans win?
Oh, when the Democrats win, it's infinitely more.
No, dubs for you as a voter.
Oh, zero.
Zero. So yeah. Why would you sit out?
Well, we could go with the pragmatic view that I am in a blue state. And the only function my vote has in the federal election is towards the popular vote.
Sorry, I was talking about evangelicals.
All right.
Who you said
well,
would
so
sit
the
out.
Argument
some of them
becomes
would sit
the
out.
Same then, though. Doesn't it?
What?
No, it
not
doesn't.
Necessarily.
I suppose, no, I'm doing my own thinking here.
Not necessarily.
I was about to argue a point that Bird wasn't making, so it's not relevant.
Well, a lot of states that have evangelicals are already going to fall red.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's some battleground states where them sitting out matters. I would have to look at the map.
Pause. What about Wisconsin?
Trump's support here has actually grown. I wouldn't say evangelicals here are excited about him, but they're going to vote that way here anyways. The pro-life contingent is strong here, but at the same time, it's also not the sort of strong that sits out on the single issue, because they do tend to have a broader picture perspective.
Yeah, yep. And so I think...
So then, just tracking back to the psychology of, and I know I'm jumping between evangelicals and you, but to track back to the psychology of your, what did you say you were doing? You were shitting on yourself on the timeline. What were you saying? No. You were going batshit on the timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of your going batshit on the timeline, I guess I just don't understand it because you know, you just agreed. Out of a hundred times the Democrats win, it's more L's every time.
Yes,
for you. So
yes,
why?
Because in the last 8 years, people like you and I and Paz and Carr have gamed out what it would look like if a Republican never took the office of presidency again, and we've gamed it out long enough. We've prepared ourselves mentally, maybe monetarily, maybe spiritually, what that would look like. The whether it's the Camp of the Saints scenario or the Brazilification scenario, and we are, I think, a portion of us are at a point where we kind of are fine with operating in that realm.
Well, and so to stay on our topic about the evangelicals and the pro-life voting question, there was a book that made a little bit of waves about this very premise. Wasn't it the Benedictine option or something? You guys remember the kerfuffle about that?
No. I've not heard of this, or at least I don't recall it.
It was a sort of cultural commentary book that came out timed with, it might have been 16. I thought it was 2020, but it might have been 2016. And it was basically making the case that, yes, evangelicals have to sit out, but beyond just sitting out, they also need to be prepared to understand that it's never coming back again. So you need to be ready to sit out not just elections, but society.
Yes.
You know, it's the sort of retreat and circle the wagons mentality, and it was making a case for that, but it was making a case for it in a context that's not like taking your ball and going home. It's the siege is coming, but it's not coming for the right wing. It's coming for Christians specifically.
Yes.
And there was quite a bit of discourse around it. I guess you guys must have missed that.
But no, I do remember that. Was basically that conversation came up from that Pints of Aquinas episode.
See, now I didn't listen to that, but they did touch on that sort of deal or that sort of thing.
Yeah, and that is, yeah, it's pretty much that guy was talking about the Benedict option, and basically just making a parallel Christian society and perfecting yourself through relationships rather than through, you know, rather than through liberalism, pleasure, and material.
Rather than through these mechanisms that keep Charlie Brown in you with the football.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that episode kind of put everything in perspective for me. And I'm just another thing that surprised me is I'm surprised that more evangelicals / MAGA people / right wingers. It doesn't seem like they've ever considered the possibility that Trump won't win, and what they've never gamed out what that looked like. We do it all the time, but an alarming number of people, I don't think, have.
Well, that goes back to being part of like the normie question, though, right?
Hmm.
you know, how many people even they care about it to the extent that they worry, but they don't actively think about it because their brains just aren't set up that way to do it.
Yeah. And if and when, and I'm on the side of when.
Did you eat your breakfast tomorrow? Sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it blows my mind that a vast number of relatively eloquent, relatively smart people that I've been arguing with, I'll give them that, they think that this is the be all end all. This is the most important election in our lifetime, as usual. But I don't think they've considered what if we lose, then what? And as a Christian, a terrible one. But as a Christian, I can't relate to that because that's all I think about is what if we lose.
You think that a lot of people think this is the most important. A lot of people on the right think this is the most important election maybe ever.
That's
that they haven't gamed out. Those people what would are happen caught in if Trump loses?
Game.
Right? Yes.
Every election's the most important election ever.
Yeah.
But what, no, how I, do you, I, how can I don't you think both? That they have.
What? I think that they think this is the most important election ever.
Yeah, but how can you think both? How can what a person you, think both?
That this is the most important election ever?
This is the
ever?
Most important election ever. Also, I haven't gamed out what would happen if Trump loses.
Because the fact that they're going after evangelicals using pragmatic arguments.
Who's going after them?
Other non-evangelical
the other people
right-wingers
on the
within
right
the coalition.
Who think, so the liberalism brainworm is what makes you think that every election is the most important election. And thus, the people pursuing the evangelical vote, telling them whip in hand to get in line, aren't thus considering the motivations because they don't have to think about what will happen to them if they lose. They don't think about it because they're still in the liberal paradigm. They'll have the next most important election of their lifetime to figure it out.
Yeah. And they don't stop to consider what a country that has nominally no pro-life movement on a federal level, what that actually looks like and what that entails and the side order effects of that.
This goes back, we're going all the way back to 2016 here again, and we're doing redux of it. Because this is what happened with the initial rise of the Trump right in the first place. All the frogs and the keks and the pepes telling the normie Republicans, and specifically, especially the evangelicals, get in line, you're on our train now, and look where that has wrought us. And there's going to be some absolute well-earned skepticism about doing that again. But this sort of right wing that's not affiliated with the evangelicals or with the pro-life movement or with an active cultural Christianity can't yeah. comprehend that betrayal, the uncertainty, or any of the other things attendant on it, because this agnostic right wing is actually going to be fine with a loss. They'll yes. just move on to the next most important election.
So in yeah. the way they're a lot like us.
But for vastly different reasons.
We're also fine with a loss.
Yeah, because it's good for the show. Only material reasons.
Well, so, I'm going to be real. They're nothing like me in any way at all. But with the way you frame it, you can make the claim, yes.
Like if I had to guess what their ideal outcome would be, let's say Trump wins, it would be a gay, atheist, Israeli client state. But with less immigration.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what evangelicals want, by the way.
No, no, no.
It's absolutely not.
No, that. No. If evangelicals had their way, it would be.
A straight Israeli client state.
Yeah, with less
that
immigration.
That might be closer, yes.
Perhaps it is you, Aaron, who is realizing that Trump was never your guy all along.
He was my guy purely for entertainment purposes. I didn't harbor any delusions about him actually serving my interests, only going against the interests of people that I don't like. He's pretty good at that, but now he's going against my interests.
Well, not as much as the other guy will.
No, no, that's the pragmatic argument. I still dislike him less than the people I dislike him.
To me, I guess that's the only argument worth having.
Yeah, and it's just not a particularly good one and not one that I was expecting to make or listen
Politics,
to.
Politics, bud. It's fucking... this is the game of power.
This is why you have to just reject politics altogether. I realize that I'm the last anarchist left in the foxhole. I know I am, but I will die in this foxhole. I've planted a flag. I've made a home of it.
We're just not there yet.
Politics doesn't matter, yo.
No, we're not quite there.
Not everything is accommodating enough for a total acceleratory victory.
Yes, we live in a total state where we can't do this show without a political mechanism.
Unfortunately.
Well, yes, so unfortunately.
Maybe this goes back to the Heinleinian roots I've got here. Now, I am not arguing to live in Ancapistan in your head. We've all done that dance. What I am arguing is that you can make it real around you by manifesting your will violently onto the world.
And we will.
I am free because there's a temporal realm. I will quote St. Heinlein. Believe me,
There's time. We are in a timeline. You know, and we're not there yet.
Yes. We are progressing in a linear fashion. When you come down
from the mountain, there's an acclimation period still, and we're not there yet.
I am not coming down from the mountain. I will die on the mountain,
losing oxygen slowly.
Explain the loss of brain cells.
My thing is this, but see, and what we all did just there is precisely why I remain a pragmatist, even on the question of abortion. We're not there yet.
Yeah, but we're not going to be there ever unless someone's willing to run into a bayonet.
Oh, we're going to get there. But here's my thing. We're going to get there. It's just a matter of the speed.
Yeah.
Here's my thing.
Hold on. So how do we get there if we keep taking the pragmatic way out and compromising it away?
The monetary system is going to collapse one way or another. There's only one place we're all going to. And then guess what? After we die, there's all hopefully the same. We're all going to the same place anyway. So
did you not just tell me before we started recording that you didn't know how money works?
That was off. I'm not in kayfabe when we're off.
That's
we're all going to one place. So I have come to, I'm in my heart an accelerationist in the teleological sense. It's going to happen. And it's a matter of speed and pace towards it. But I've kind of backed off of the acceleration a bit because I actually happen to see a lot of cultural progress around me. Not necessarily in the country in general, although I actually happen to think so. But I'm now looking around and going, okay, so when this where we're going is inevitable and when we get there it's inevitable, so it's going to happen anyway. So it's a matter of how can we be positioned during that period and then immediately after that period. And now, I think more time is better in this instance. And I happen to think Donald Trump, I would not call him the deceleratory option, but I would say that by the principle of the, you know, how many W's do they stack for us? Donald Trump stacks more W's for us in 4 years, 100% of the time.
Are you saying that pragmatically he buys you another 4 years of preparing for when it is actually over?
I don't want to put a number on the buying time or how what the quantity of dubs will be. I just sort of, I know these things. Even if it's one more dub, I'll take it. Even if it's one more year, I'll take another year for now. It's coming anyway. Again, we can't avoid it. But I'll take more time. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that it has to do with the pursuit of self-actualization and people realizing that it's not through ideology?
Well, I'm just preferring the slower buildup as I see even harder men being built.
We can prefer that all we want, but I don't. I, I'm not following how Trump gets you this.
Yeah, I would contend that Biden gets us there, making the circle smaller.
I don't want to make the circle smaller. Exactly.
He wants to make the circle
smaller.
He wants to make the circle bigger, but I don't understand the argument for Trump doing that.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's more dubs in ways I want.
But it's also, it also lulls the people that, you know, the thing that really got me in the right mindset of insulating myself from it being over was one of the things was Biden winning, you know, on a grand scale and a bunch of other stuff on a personal scale. But I think that I think A, we deserve the L after last Tuesday's comments. I think we now deserve the L because of the reaction to them. And B, I think that it will act as a forge for harder men having another 4 years of smoking Joe.
Well, on the first point, your priest hasn't assigned you that indulgence yet, so you're not allowed to just say we deserve the L.
No, no. No, I shouldn't say. If there is a way to rephrase that in a way that my priest would accept.
In a way I could convince my Filipino priest to give me the L? Yeah. Okay. But more importantly, on the second point, this is probably a longer conversation where we could both have some time to bring some evidence. But I think Donald Trump's 4 year, this is all speculation on my end, and I admit it, and I'm banking on the dream. But Donald Trump for 4 years, if it does one thing, it reveals even greater evils in the enemy. It riles them more. It throws water on a cat. It makes them really angry.
Now, when you make that argument, I can buy that. Sure.
Yeah.
And we stacked up. So we stacked up. To what end? And our villains become even more villainous, thereby promoting radicalization. Yeah. I actually think...
You should leave that with the first part, because I still don't understand what W he is allegedly offering.
Well, one of the W's is that he's going to make the villains more villainous, which is always good for building the character of strong and good men.
But going back to the episode, going back to our Patreon episode that you should subscribe and pay $4.20 to hear.
Thank you.
There is a pragmatic argument for Trump losing and being out of the picture, and that is the absolute disintegration of the left coalition.
In your dreams.
I think he's the only thing that is holding them together. And that Israeli-Palestine thing?
You're going to get communism immediately afterwards is what you're going to get.
Aren't they intrinsically the same
thing? They are. It is intrinsically the same thing. You're going to get... I like the Democratic Party sticking together. I don't actually think that it is Trump that does that, but I can't say for sure because I haven't really thought about it too hard. But I don't think it's just Trump that does that. I like the Democrats being together because it's a contained element right now, a focused element. When that party breaks, they're going to go apeshit. They're going to go full burn everything down anytime anything happens. Saw the peak of it in the Floyd regime. We saw a peak of it.
Yeah. I don't know if they have it in them anymore.
Oh, please. There's millions of new Democrats every day.
There might be, but I feel like Israel-Palestine really took a lot of juice out of them.
They haven't turned on each other completely, but it's exposing the rift in the coalition between the young leftists and the older liberals. It's a complete divorce of the grassroots from the establishment.
How many years do you think that group has left?
As many as they want.
Liberals?
They're not new ones are not being made, so it's at max lifespan.
At max lifespan on some of them, it's still 20, 30 years, though. You know, there's not a young core of them, but there's plenty of them still in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah. With generational
just
wealth.
Because that younger generation is reproducing at a rapid pace by comparison, which would be zero. There's zero of these, like, John Stewart libs left. Like, none of them are being produced.
I think until the millennials die off, we have to contend with them.
That might be true. That still is a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd go so far as to say it's not – I'm going to make this about the bugaboo I've been on for several weeks now. It's not about the John Stewarts. It's about the actual elites that tell the foot soldiers where to go and what to do.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. I just don't know about that in terms of them going ape shit. Yeah,
like I said, that's been an ongoing discussion.
I think the grassroots gives the captured institutions legitimacy, and the captured institutions create policy. Once you lose the grassroots, you lose legitimacy, which we've been seeing. And once you lose the
elite, well, these elites on the left, which is part of it, is these elites on the left have no noblesse oblige at all. No. They don't have any of that to their wily peasants.
Yeah, unless
hold on though, they do. Look at all the Antifa bail funds.
Do you think that the peasants associate that stuff with these Harvard libs?
No, but they don't need to.
That's right.
What do you mean they don't need to? They're going to have a French Revolution against these people.
But they're not actually, because that just repeats the whole Soviet international dynamic. We already know that.
That's what I'm saying, is they're going to eventually create out of their current elites a Stalin.
Which would be amazing.
No.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you're right.
What if Stalin, but extremely millennial gay?
But do you see what I'm, but like, okay, so what I mean, all right, so it's at max lifespan, but we cannot assume the max, because at some point these Harvard libs, as we saw hints of, literally at Harvard, they're going to be deposed by the peasants. They're going to be deposed. They have no noblesse oblige. They don't know how to talk to these people. I don't even think there's at max a lifespan of time, or 20 or 30 years left, or whatever it is. I just really don't think so.
So what, did the left-wing coalition just detonates then?
Yes, and exactly what you described is, I think what happens is there's going to be a kind of new organization, slightly younger people, probably still from the elite, but more radical than the current ones. I think that that's probably inevitable anyway, depending on whether or not Biden becomes president or Trump becomes president. But I'm thinking the game is Donald Trump, at the very least, because of the behavior of that particular group during Trump's last presidency, if you'll recall, because of the behavior of that particular group of Democrats, who I think will eventually French Revolution their current elites and replace them with a communist style that eventually leads to some kind of a gay Stalin. I actually think Donald Trump will provoke out of that group more of the behavior that was provoked out of them when he was president the first time, and thereby help to radicalize people on our side against them. I think if Biden becomes president, this thing kind of happens in the background slowly.
So your assertion is that it was Trump himself that provoked that response out of them?
Certainly, if you remember when Trump became president, the day that he became president, the protests and riots were very radicalizing for people. George Floyd, the lead up to George Floyd, very radicalizing for people.
Sure, all this stuff was very radicalizing. It can be as radicalizing as we want, but that wasn't what I was saying.
What do you mean?
Are you asserting that it was Trump's style, Trump's personality, and Trump's decisions that provoked those responses from the foot soldier caste of the American left wing?
I would say it was Trump adjacents that did.
Okay.
Empowered by their leader, yes.
I definitely just disagree, but I'm not going to rehash the same conversation we've had five times now.
Yeah. It's fair.
I just wanted to make sure I was understanding your point.
I don't know.
Well, it's this just kind of the whole question is for us. What? Because again, the whole conversation was about abortion, but larger than that, it was about: is it time to pull the plug on this? Is this the issue that we can't be pragmatic on, and therefore, are we willing to accept basically handing it to the Democrats because of that? Unless, of course, you already believed the Democrats were going to take it. Again, in which case, totally different. You have a totally different view. That's if you me. Think the Democrats are going to take it anyway, then you can stick by principles. Because you're already you've already lost. You already know that, so you can stick by
maybe
principles.
Maybe subconsciously that's where I'm at, or that's where I was at.
But if I'm willing to say that I'm there consciously. Mm. I mean, what did these guys do for me the first go-round?
Well, I know, again, I know you are, but a lot of the evangelicals are not. They think Trump is going to win.
Yes.
Yes, they truly do.
That's indisputable. Yes.
I actually think Trump is going to win also. I am pragmatic on the issue. I have beliefs about abortion, but I am pragmatic on the issue for the in terms of winning the election.
Hmm. I guess the difference is you're not telling people like myself that I'm a child and that,
you have to get in line.
That's right. Retarded. Yeah, I mean, these people who are now – it's funny that now the evangelicals and the Jewish Turning Point people are now lecturing the pragmatists this whole time about pragmatism.
Yeah.
It's funny, for sure. No, I don't think there's any in that side, the side that is at the present moment with the present question being pragmatic. It's really rich that they want that they're lecturesome now about it.
Yeah. There's not a hint of like regret or somberness or understanding.
It's funny. It's no fucking coincidence that it's not the only group that is now lecturing about pragmatism, but the entirety of the same group was lecturing about Israel not long ago either.
Yeah.
And the pragmatism associated with continuing that support under the present circumstances. It's the same.
Pragmatism depends on what your end goal is.
Well, if you do not have any loyalty to the United States, that would be the first clue.
Yes.
So and that,
if you don't have particular loyalty to your political party, then that would be the second clue.
That would be the second clue.
Where I come in.
If you don't, for me, the abortion lecture, and now I'm, because I consider myself at least at the present moment of what we want to accomplish, I'm on the same side as the people who are now lecturing about the pragmatism.
When you
of
see a contradiction
abortion.
Between the GOP platform and you being a Christian man, yes, you can go the pragmatic route or you can expose the contradiction. Notice that everybody else prioritizes being a voter over being a Christian and then get upset about it.
Yeah.
That's me.
No,
I fully intend to get upset about everything I have a chance to whenever I have a chance to.
Yeah.
That's your brand.
I am the most ass blasted man any of you have ever met perpetually.
Yes. I was down in your cave, Paz.
I want to win. I think more dubs is better. I think a little bit more time is better.
But look at the people you're winning with.
Well, I see what you mean by that, but I think a better what would be more charitable to say would be look at some of the people you're winning with.
Look at the people who are losing if you win. I get it. Yeah.
Well, there's certainly people who are aligned with the right wing and with Donald Trump who I despise and who have components to their ideology that I think are disgusting and evil. But stacking dubs for me and my people, I still have to prefer over throwing the switch and accelerating the thing to the max at the present time, because I just don't think – so there are times in the past when that lever was pulled and the cultures that we would probably have sat in at the time – the cultures at the time were ready to go. They were geared up and ready, because what happens when a power vacuum, like when you blow up, when the country blows up, all of the political parties blow up. You need the right figures in place to set back together the potential for a system, because there's going to be a power vacuum and you need your boys to take power. And I just do not think at the present moment that the right wing is in any position institutionally or otherwise where if the lever is pulled and the whole thing blows up, which is going to happen anyway, but again, pulling the lever is a human decision. I just don't see anywhere advantageous for the right wing to take power when that happens.
And you think that that lever is going to be a financial collapse, a permanent financial collapse?
Well, I don't – no, because I don't think you're suggesting that that's what pulling the lever means. Like, we can't engage that. That's what's going to happen anyway. I guess pulling the lever is the Democrats winning. Republicans can make that decision.
But
Republicans can decide that.
Connecting it to your financial collapse, it's over.
Well, that's going to cause an explosion of the whole country, yes.
Do you see that in the short term, the medium term, I'm guessing?
Oh, I don't. This is where what I was talking to Paz about before. I don't know anything about economics, so I have no idea about the time frame of when the collapse will happen, depending on.
I've heard 2030.
How it accelerates. I don't
know,
dude.
Well, that's the conspiracy brain answer, and I'm willing to go along with it.
Yep. I'm going to, for what it's worth, I'm going to put some money on it.
Okay.
Whatever $100 is worth in 2030.
About 4 $1. Cents.
Yeah. I'm willing to put money on around 2030 is when we'll see a hard fall.
But that's conditional too, because or do you think that's just an absolute, or do you think anything
that's wired into the unelected institutions?
No, I don't.
It's the bureaucracies that are setting.
So
that.
Whether or not Donald Trump or Joe Biden become president, yes. You think 2030 is
yes.
And unless question, Trump has the Donald balls Trump... to finally earn my vote and execute every member of the Federal Reserve.
Yes. It's going to depend. Whoever fills that vacuum that you're talking about is going to heavily depend on who is in power at the federal level at that time. And it may be more advantageous to your ends, Bird, and to our ends, that Donald Trump not be in power at that time, because blame is a powerful tool.
2030, he would not.
No, 2030, he would not.
He would not.
So, do you want, well, whoever's in power in 2028,
here's my next question. You live in a battleground state in the current theoretically.
Oh, okay. All right.
You live in a battleground state, mm-hmm. and we're having this conversation. Are you still going to vote for Donald Trump?
Yes. But I don't live in a battleground state. I know that.
Well, yeah, you can afford to be, like I said before, you can sort of afford to be more. Well, if you live in a state like mine, you can afford to be principled.
Yes.
Like in the positive sense. And if you live in a state like yours, you can afford to be principled in the negative sense. But if you live in a battleground state, I mean, because you just admitted it and I admit it too.
Principled anyways.
Well, yeah, but the rest of us are looking at, I don't know, maybe
actually,
not.
You know what? I retract that. If I lived in a battleground state, I don't think it would change my perspective.
My question was, would you vote for Donald Trump still?
Yeah, I'm more leaning towards no. And only because, like I said.
Now you're leaning towards you would not. You'd sit home.
Yes. No, I would just leave the portion blank.
So you, for and, the, and, but, and, would you expect Donald Trump would become the president?
No, I would not. That would not change. Battleground or no.
So do you think that therefore the Democrats take it again? Is that a lever pull for you?
A part of me would say that is an accelerationist lever pull.
Yeah, I think it is.
And a part of me would say it is. No, not in a particularly good way, but I don't think there is going to be a good way. I think tough times are coming. And
I think it's going to be really good.
If you've taken the path that kind of we all have taken in the last 4 to 8 years, you'll be as ready as you can be for them.
I think it's going to be good.
I think it's going to be great for the show.
Yes.
I will give you great for the show. I don't know about good.
What's good for the show is good for the podcast.
Gander.
The gander. All right. Okay.
Well, then.
No news this week.
No, none.
No news.
Nothing ever happens.